My radio drowns him out.
Barnes to all. We've found Professor O'Brien. Howard, get your ass downstairs to basement level 2. We're going to need your expertise to get her out. Everyone else, eyes up. We have at least one bad guy unaccounted for.
My skin crawls for a moment. What the hell can be wrong with Mo if they need me to help rescue her? Then I notice Chiton watching me.
Take care, he says gruffly. You know how to use that thing?
This? I clumsily pat the basilisk gun hanging from my chest pack.
Sure. Listen, don't touch that machine. I mean, like, really, don't touch it.
I think it's dead, but you know what they say about unexploded bombs, okay?
Go on.
He waves me past him at the door, and I go out to find Scary Spice crouched in the corridor, eyes swiveling like a chameleon on cocaine.
Let's go.
We head for the stairs, and I can't shed the nagging feeling that I've missed something critically important, that we're being sucked into a giant cobweb of darkness and chilly lies, doing exactly what the monster at its center wants us to do, all because I've misinterpreted one of the signs around me. The basement level is colder than the surface rooms and passages. I find Sergeant Pike there, helmet undogged, breath steaming and sparkling in the light of a paraffin lamp someone has coaxed into oily, lambent life.
What kept you? He asks.
I shrug.
Where is she and how is she?
He points at the nearer of two corridor entrances. This one is lit by a chain of bioluminescent disposables, so that a ghastly chain of green candlelight marks the route. My stomach feels suddenly hollow.
She's conscious, but nobody's touching her till you've given the okay, he says.
Oh, great. I follow the chain of ghost lights to the open door. The door may be wide open, but there's no mistaking it for anything other than a cell. Someone stuck another lantern on the floor just so I can see what else is inside. The room is almost completely occupied by some kind of summoning rig, not a torture machine like the one upstairs, but something not that far away from it. There's a wooden framework like a four-poster bed with elaborate pulleys at each corner. Mo is spread-eagled on her back, naked, tied to the uprights, but the effect is just about anything other than kinky sexy, especially when I see what's suspended above her by way of more pulleys and the same steel cables that loop through her manacles. Each of the uprights is capped by a Tesla coil. There's some kind of bug-fuck generator rig in the corner, and half the guts of an old radar station's HF output stage arranged around the perimeter of a crazy pentacle surrounding the Procrustean contraption. It's like a bizarre cross between an electric chair and a rack. Her eyes are closed. I think she's unconscious. I can't help myself. I fumble with the locking ring on my helmet, then raise my visor and take a breath. It's cold in here. It's been about 8 hours since she was abducted, so if she's been there that long, she's probably halfway to hypothermia already. I shuffle closer, careful not to cross the solder-dribbled circuit inscribed on the stone floor.
Mo?
She twitches.
Bob? Bob, get me out of here.
She's hoarse, and there's an edge of panic in her voice. I take a shuddering, icy breath.
That's exactly what I'm going to do. Only question is how.
I glance around.
Anyone there? I call.
Be with you in a sec,
replies Hutter from outside the door.
Waiting for the boss.
I go fumbling in my padded pocket for the PDA, because before I go anywhere near that bed, I want to take some readings.
Talk to me, Mo. What happened? Who put you here?
Oh, God, he's out there.
She just about goes into spasm, straining at the cables in panic.
Stop that! I shout, on edge and jittery myself. Mo, stop moving! That thing could cut loose at any moment!
She stops moving so suddenly that the bed rack summoning bench shakes.
What did you say?
She asks out of one corner of her mouth.